Have you ever tried doing a mock draft, drafting rookies that don't have teams yet? It was very challenging, but we pulled it off. Welcome to the show. It is Thursday, April 16th. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg talking about our mock draft. I had a lot of fun yesterday doing that mock draft.
Mock drafts are always fun. And this is the time of year when you can do them. And, I mean, obviously with any mock draft, there's no consequence. But if you want to try some wacky stuff just to see how your team shakes out, now's the time of the year to do it. And that's what I did.
I had so much fun, as Jamie knows, I told him earlier, so much fun that I fell asleep. I fell asleep in like round 14.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's passed right out.
That is pathetic.
I think it's probably round 13. Last three picks were auto picks.
That actually is not the best Adam Azer story we're going to hear today.
That's interesting. We've got something else on Adam that that must be shared.
Yes.
Does Adam know about what's about to be
shared? Yeah,
yeah. Adam and I somebody's know. Face is turning red.
Adam and I know, but you don't know.
Okay, I'm excited about this.
I hope this translates, but my girlfriend's brother-in-law is an avid listener of the podcast, has been for a while.
What's his name?
His name is Zach. I'm sure
Morris?
He's listening. What's that? Yeah, Zach Morris. And he texted me, quote, You were called a cat-loving hairy man-boy on the last podcast. That should be your Office League fantasy handle. So I want to thank you for that, Dave, calling me a cat-loving hairy man-boy. But what you should know is that, this is true, when he sent me that text message, I was laying in bed, shirtless, petting the cat. And I just
and there you have it.
I was like, I guess that would be confirmation about my new fantasy nickname. So there we go.
Sketcherdoodle should make a picture of that.
I thought he did.
Sketcherdoodle
or our
West Virginia fan who does all sorts of stuff.
You forgot his name?
I just know that he's a West Virginia fan. That's how I remember him.
Yeah.
Kevin White fan.
Somebody made a baseball.
Somebody do
Photoshop
something to celebrate this moment in Adam's fantastic life.
Always good to have a nickname as long as you don't give it to yourself. A quick look at the news and notes. And then we'll go through the draft a little bit differently this time. We're not going to go through it round by round. Maybe we will at the end if we have time, but we're each going to break down our teams, our strategies, our philosophies, and see how it turned out. And if you want to email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, put football podcast in the subject line. Remember, we're going to have a live NFL draft show on the website. There will be a fantasy take on it. It will be a lot different than what you see on the networks, so please check it out. It'll be very cool. Who's going number one in the NFL draft? Jason Luckenforest says it's going to be Jameis Winston. Is that kind of what you guys think?
Jason is correct.
Yeah,
it should be, unless something comes out between now and the 30th.
Yep.
And it's got to be something that the Bucks find out about for them to get off that pick.
Pretty cool Cleveland uniforms, I'd say.
I actually like how it says Cleveland on the front and Dog Pound on the back. I know that they're getting kind of trash because there's so much going on with them, and some people feel like they made changes just to make changes, but I kind of dig it. I think it's cool.
And Matt Forte, what's going on with him? He skipped voluntary workouts. Forte reportedly wants a new contract.
He's a running back, so yes, he wants a new contract. I mean, he's looking around and he's seeing, you know, LeSean McCoy get a raise. He sees what Adrian Peterson is getting paid. Sees what DeMarco Murray got. So, you know, I think realizing that he's 30 years old and is going to start to hit the downturn of not only his career, but his paycheck. You know, so once this contract is done, if he sees the end of it, he's not going to see this type of money again. So he's trying to cash in one more time if he possibly can. I'm sure there's probably something they could do to restructure his deal a little bit to give him more guaranteed money.
Well, he's
probably
in a contract year now. So
right. Well,
the Bears could just as easily say, you know what, you're going to play out this year, and then we'll see what happens.
I would imagine something gets done.
I kind of hope nothing gets done. I hate to say it because Matt seems like a good guy, but I want him to be hungry in a contract
I don't
year.
Think anything would change for him. I think paid or not paid, he's the same type of guy. He'll get a little bit more of a carry bump this year with the offensive change and a little bit of a catch reduction. He's still going to be very good. So I don't think you have to worry about it as long as he shows up for training camp.
He went fourth in our 12-team standard scoring mock draft, two running backs, two receivers, tight end, flex. So he went fourth overall. It's Lacy, Charles, Bell, and then Forte, and then Antonio Brown to Dave, fifth overall. Jamie had the second pick. I had the ninth pick. What do you think about Forte at fourth right now?
It's about where we'll go. Yep, somewhere top five.
Yep.
Okay, our next news item is we have some players signing in different locations. Oakland signing Michael Crabtree, Jets signing Stephen Ridley. Which one more impactful for fantasy this year?
If Stephen Ridley's a starter for the Jets, it's Ridley by far.
Yeah. But
if he's not, then obviously Crabtree would be that guy. But I don't think either one. I'm not excited about either one.
Well, Crabtree, I think the most interesting thing would be what impact would it have on the rookie wide receiver the Raiders might take fourth overall?
None?
They need to add talent there. It's a lot more than just throwing Michael Crabtree at their receiving corps and saying, all right, we're done here. Let's move on. We'll draft something else. Now, unless they're in love with another player, I still think that they should at least strongly consider a wide receiver in round one or round two, if not both round one and round two, because Derek Carr needs these guys.
I think signing Crabtree eliminates them going wide receiver with their first two picks because they have a bunch of twos and threes. They just don't have a one. I mean, James Jones can be a two or a three. Crabtree could be at best can be a two or a three. Streeter, when healthy, can be in that role too. I mean, Andre Holmes. They're all the same type of guy.
Right.
So while I agree with you, yes, Dave, they probably should upgrade to get two more guys. They have so many other holes to fill. They're not going to go two receivers.
Do you think it precludes, if you were them, would you take a receiver in the first round? Do you see a receiver like Cooper or White as being that guy to make it pop there?
Yeah, I mean, to me, Cooper makes a lot of sense because he's more polished than White. You may not have the same type of ceiling, but at least you know what you're getting with a quarterback who, you know, showed some flashes last year. I don't think Derek Carr is a great quarterback, but I think he's serviceable, and certainly the more weapons they put around him, the better he'll be, you know, and also factoring in Michael Rivera, who, you know, also played well at times last year.
I'll say he's a good quarterback. I'll go a step above serviceable on Derek Carr, but he needs weapons. So that's why I don't necessarily mind if they do go receiver in round one.
Antonio Gates wants to scale back his workload this year. Gates went at the end of round seven in this 12-team league. He went after Jordan Cameron. Your thoughts?
This doesn't bother me that much. If they don't use him on rushing plays where he's blocking, that's fine with me. He even said himself he wants to be used inside the 20 and in the end zone.
And on third and long.
So, as a fantasy owner who would consider Antonio Gates a decent tight end in the middle of the draft, this doesn't change my opinion at all.
Yeah, I never look at snap count, really, when it comes to receivers. I look at targets, and so his targets aren't going to change. He may lose some of his snaps, but I don't care about that. And I care about his targets, and his targets aren't going to change dramatically.
He's not a player that can catch a ball 5 yards off the line of scrimmage and then streak to the end zone for a 40-yard touchdown. He's a red zone guy.
Right.
That's what he is at this point in his career.
You have to kind of view him as, you know, the end of Tony Gonzalez's career, which Gonzalez was still a top 10 tight end. He's never going to get back to the level that he was. Last year was probably as good as it's ever going to be again for Antonio Gates, and it was very good. So, you know, if you can get 8+ touchdowns out of him, which I think is realistic, he'll be fine. The one thing that maybe this does do is it helps Ladarius Green. Maybe he gets on the field a little more, gets a few more catches. But nobody's drafting that guy at this point.
Hey, Adam, who's his quarterback going to be?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would imagine Phillip Rivers.
We'll see.
By the way, 2 years in a row for Antonio Gates, if you do end up drafting him, 2 years in a row, very, very first half heavy. He caught three touchdowns.
Same with Rivers.
But, I mean, Gates just kind of falls off a cliff in the second half of the season, year after year now. I guess this makes sense at his age. And Adrian Peterson, we could get his official reinstatement any day now. So with that said, let's talk mock draft. We will look at the first two rounds before we go into our teams because, you know, very interesting stuff. Le'Veon Bell suspended for 3 games. How did that change things? He went third overall. Again, Jamie had the second pick, Dave had the fifth pick, and I had the ninth pick. It was a 12-team league. What did we have, 15 rounds?
Yep.
Quarterback. Two running backs, two receivers, one tight end, a flex that could be a running back, wide receiver, or a tight end, a kicker and a defense, and then six bench spots. And, you know, normal scoring 6 points for a passing touchdown. So Lacey goes 1 to Scott White. Jamie takes Jamaal Charles 2. Joe goes Le'Veon Bell. And Chris Towers takes Matt Forte. Lacey, Charles, Bell, Forte. I think we should stop there and tell me what you guys think of that order.
I'm actually more curious to hear why Jamie took Charles over Bell.
Well, that's the order that the players were drafted is the exact order I have the guys ranked. So, if Bell is suspended for the three games, he's not one of the top two players for me, and I'm still toying with it. Right now I have him third. Depending on where Peterson ends up, I may move Peterson ahead of him. Missing four games of your fantasy season is tough when you're drafting a guy that high. Guaranteed four games. Because it's three games and his bye week. So to not have that is going to be very tough for a lot of people to overcome. As good as he is and as good as he should be, you know, you're still also talking about the potential of injury at that position. So a four-game absence is a lot.
Let me ask you
knowing
a question.
Knowing he's
I don't like framing it as a four-game absence.
Well, it is.
It's a three-game absence. Everybody's got a one-game absence.
Sure, but I mean, it's four games, though.
But it's
the
three games.
The three-game absence is under appeal. So there's a chance it could get reduced.
Sure.
If it's a two-game suspension to begin the year, does that change how you feel?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, because that's the way I'm viewing this, is that right now, until it's three games, I'm still fine with Le'Veon Bell being my number one guy.
Well, it is three games.
No.
It's appealed.
If it appeals and it's narrowed down, if it's knocked down to two games.
Yeah, but it has to be. Right now it is three games.
So, Dave, what if it stays at three? Well, I thought it was, no, they announced three-game suspension.
No,
he's appealing.
It's under appeal. That's why it's not an official
suspension. But he's appealing a three-game suspension.
If he loses the appeal and it's three games, then obviously I'm with you because that's just too many to miss. But let's not forget about Josh Gordon, who once upon a time missed the first two games of the season and still finished as the number one receiver in fantasy. Now, we didn't take Josh Gordon in the first round, but you would have if you had known that he would have ended up with the numbers that he had.
Okay. Antonio Brown. Yeah, sorry. You want to wrap
it
up?
There was one other point I'd want to make is that as of now, if the Steelers don't add another running back in the draft, it looks like D'Angelo Williams is going to be the guy who gets the start in place of Le'Veon Bell forever, how many games that'll end up being. And I think that you can still find him at a decent spot in the draft where if you take Le'Veon Bell, you don't have to burn that eighth round pick on D'Angelo Williams.
He went in the 10th round on this one. So to your point, 10th round for D'Angelo. All right, rest of round one. Dave took Antonio Brown 5th, Rob Gronkowski 6th.
Why Brown at 5?
That was part of my experimental game plan for this draft, Jamie. Was first of all, I love Antonio Brown. He's my favorite wide receiver in fantasy this year. Super consistent, delivers big numbers 80% of the time over the last year and a half of his career. So I wanted to come out of the gate with a stud wide receiver. And just see how my team would shape up.
But you would have gotten a stud wide receiver in round two regardless.
I probably would have. And I wasn't intending to take a receiver. I did. I was completely floored by who I got in round two.
That's where he's going to go, though.
No, I don't know about that. I think there's going to be a lot of leagues where he doesn't go. We're talking about Odell Beckham, by the way.
We've done two mock drafts, and the last one he went at 16. So this one you got him where?
I think it was like 20th overall.
That's probably a little too far. But he's not gonna be a first-round guy in a standard format.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that's going to vary. I think he's
a player, and there wasn't the running back I would have taken there would have been Arian Foster. So to me, the debate was Antonio Brown, Arian Foster. In a normal draft where I'm not toying around, it's going to be Foster.
Why not
and
Gronk?
That was really kind of underscored in this draft with the results that I had.
Why not
if
Gronk?
I could go back and
Dave?
Do it again. I would shelve the idea of taking a wide receiver first or at 5 overall and go with Foster.
Are you not hearing anything I'm saying today?
No. What did you say?
I said, why not Gronk?
Because I don't think he's going to score enough points to make it worth it. And I think the difference, the fact that he's a differentiator at tight end, just it's not enough for me.
Okay. Adrian Peterson, 7. Dez Bryant, 8. C.J. Anderson, to me, 9th. DeMarco Murray, 10. LeSean McCoy, 11. And Demaryius Thomas, 12. So Foster didn't even get taken in the first round. It's kind of surprising. Again, I'll read round one. Lacy, Charles, Bell, Forte, Brown, Gronkowski, Peterson, Dez, C.J. Anderson, DeMarco Murray, LeSean McCoy, and Demaryius Thomas. Quick thoughts on round one?
Well, I mean, I would take Gronk over Brown. I think that's well known for our people who listen to the show. I don't like DeMarco Murray in the first round at all. And, I am surprised Marshawn Lynch did not get taken in the first round. Scott actually considered taking Lynch first overall. So, Scott and I had a conversation before the draft and he was, you know, as I think a lot of people are, if they were drafting right now, who should be the number one overall pick. You know, he was asking who I thought it would be, you know, and I told him Lacy. I told him Lacy and Charles to me are the two safest bets right now because they're consistent. You know what you're getting. They're going to get a lot of work. They're going to do a lot of things, score touchdowns. And then he said, if I had told him Marshawn Lynch, and I said, you know, you could take Le'Veon Bell first overall too. But if I had mentioned Lynch with those three guys, he said he would have pulled the trigger. And he said he's so glad that he didn't, given the fact that Lynch fell to round two.
I was more surprised that Foster didn't go in round one.
Yeah, Foster's a round two guy for me.
No, not me. Not with the way the Texans are going to run the ball like crazy.
I did kind of think that after the first – well, I mean, I probably like Peterson better than you guys do, but after the first four or five running backs, I guess you could make a case for any order. When you're talking C.J. Anderson, Murray, McCoy, Lynch, Foster, that group there. What you got? Is there one guy in that group that really stands out?
For me, it's Foster because mm-hmm. of his role and workload in the Houston offense.
Okay.
They're just going to run him into the ground, and right now he can handle it.
Jamie?
That it should have gone there, or
yeah, it's like, who should have been the next running back off the board after the top four?
Oh, Peterson.
Okay, and then after him.
Top five guy.
After him.
Anderson.
All right. Well, that's how it went.
Yeah.
Round two then. Calvin Johnson. So Marone went Demaryius Thomas 12th and Calvin Johnson 13th. Marshawn Lynch, Julio Jones. Then I took Jeremy Hill and Arian Foster went.
Now, why did you take Hill over Foster?
I think Jeremy Hill could be a top three pick next year. I don't see anything holding him back. I think he's a beast and he's going to be awesome. And,
you're not worried about Giovanni Bernard?
No.
And that whole factor?
No, I'm not. I mean, that situation played itself out. Bernard has proven himself that he is not proven to be anything but a steady ball carrier. I mean, he's a good player, but Hill's their guy. And I think, you know, Foster could be great, but obviously more downside with Foster, in my opinion, than Hill.
Yeah, it's you're looking upside versus downside. And that's... You know, Foster should be good if everything holds the form with him, but, you know, we saw him break down 2 years ago. As Dave says, he's going to get a lot of work. There's definitely a potential for him to, you know, get hurt again.
He was pretty awesome in 13 games last year. If I draft him for those same 13 games this year, I'm going to get really good numbers out of him.
But do you want to go in knowing you're planning for 13 games?
Right. That's kind of how I feel.
Sure,
I'm planning
but
for 15 with
I think
with
there's
Hill.
A lot of running backs in this draft that you can look at, or early on anyway, that you look at and you could say the same thing about.
But not Hill.
DeMarco Murray's one of them.
Sure.
Marshawn Lynch, despite him, you know, we all thought he had a chance to break down last year.
I agree with you, but Lynch hasn't missed time. Foster, this is now 2 years in a row. What was it, 8 games 2 years ago? Three games last year. So it's 11 out of 32 that he's missed. And you know he's not getting healthier and younger. He's getting older and more brittle. And the quarterback situation there is ugly. They have really one good wide receiver right now. So can he handle all that work again? It's a legitimate fear for people. And I could see why Adam, you know, kind of would speak to that audience of, I'm going to take the younger, potentially just as good, if not better guy in Jeremy Hill, because down the stretch, Hill was just as good.
Let me ask you guys a question. How come we're giving Adrian Peterson a pass on this? Because I believe he's over 30 at this point.
He'll be 30.
Mm-hmm. Didn't play at all last year. We can't say for sure what team he'll be on, although it's probably not going to matter. He's going to get a lot of work no matter what team he goes on. Not saying that we're wrong for doing it, but why are you, Jamie, putting him into your top five and completely ignoring the fact that this guy didn't play football last year and could be potentially just as ripe for a breakdown as any other running back?
Absolutely fair. The point about, you know, breakdown potential, because, you know, who knows what the layoff will do to him, and he's never had this type of layoff because when he tore his ACL, he was back week one the following season. But I think it's he's got to step on the field, whether it's in Minnesota, Dallas, Arizona. The one place that would make me, you know, nervous about is if the Jacksonville rumor, which I believe Peter King is the one that reported it. If that happens, then he'll fall down the rank list for me. But if he's on one of those, you know, potentially three teams, I think you got to see when he steps on the field, did he approach this off season with the same level of dedication like he did when he tore his ACL? So, or off season plus, you know, suspension. Because if he's that guy that wants to prove something, knowing what his pedigree is, his history is, his potential is, I don't see him having less than 1,500 rushing yards. I don't see him scoring less than double digits in touchdowns. And I think for one season, Dynasty Leagues, it would be different. But for one season, I would gamble on Peterson as a top five pick.
So, again, round two started Calvin, Lynch, Julio, Hill, Foster, and then Jordy Nelson, followed by Joique Bell, Odell Beckham, Aaron Rodgers, A.J. Green, Randall Cobb, and Andrew Luck. I just want to finish up this with this question for you guys. Is Joique Bell a second-round pick in your minds?
Well, I want to back up for 1 second because I think one thing that we need to explain is, so we're doing this draft. Our draft room is not really organized yet. So people have to sort of search for players. And the Jordy Nelson pick, I believe, was to Jeff Tobin, our assistant managing editor. And he was doing like a few other things. And he said he forgot about Odell Beckham, who wasn't at the top of, you know, any queue, which Jordy Nelson was. So I think if, you know, we were to back out the pick, he would have taken Beckham there. And so that may have changed things. It may have gone Beckham, Nelson, and then Dave would have had to make a choice.
Dave would have taken Bell.
Yeah. So
Bell, I almost feel like he's a second round pick by default because people are going to be so running back crazy that they will gravitate toward Bell. And I don't think it's that terrible of an idea, especially since when you come back in round three, you won't feel as good about the running backs that are left and the wide receivers will still be fairly good.
Yeah. I would have probably taken both quarterbacks, Rodgers and Luck, over Bell. And that's odd for me to say, but
I'm kind of surprised you're saying
that. I just don't see Joique Bell as a top 24 overall pick. I think he's safer in round three because they're probably still going to add somebody.
Well, it'll change if they add somebody, but if they don't add somebody, then I don't see how he's not.
He's averaged
mid to late second round.
He's averaged 3.9 yards per carry each of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure how good Joique Bell is.
He will score a lot of touchdowns and catch a lot of passes.
Yeah.
And Reggie Bush is not there.
Here's the bottom line.
And he's a better runner than Theo Riddick.
But here's the bottom line, guys. After Hill, Foster, Lynch, McCoy, Murray, whatever, like they're the big difference in the running backs. You're talking Bell, Lamar Miller, Justin Forsett, Carlos Hyde. So it's a lot different, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And we'll see if the rookies change anything.
And that, my friend, is why I went with two running backs with my first two picks. So let's talk about our teams. Jamie, I'll let you start since you had the second pick. Just kind of give us, you can run down your team, but also what you were thinking. And Dave, feel free to interject with any questions or comments.
Well, I knew I was either taking Lacy or Charles based on what Scott was going to do. So I was pretty confident that I was going to get one of my top two overall players. And I was certainly fine with Charles. I knew I was going to go with two wide receivers unless there was a huge run on receiver and the running backs that I wanted. So just Rodgers went before I picked. I would have considered either Rodgers or Luck on the swing back in round three if both were available to me. So if it came back to me and I was staring at Rodgers and Luck, I would have taken best player available, hopefully receiver, and then taken the quarterback there just to avoid taking one of those less than stellar running backs.
Okay.
So I was glad that I got the two receivers that I did, which were, I think I took Randall Cobb first.
Yep.
And then Alshon Jeffrey second. So those are my first three picks. In round four, I kind of was watching the way the board was falling. Adam, you mentioned about drafting the rookies. And again, the way our draft room is set up. So we had to nominate a rookie, almost like an auction.
Yeah.
So I'm taking this player here. And
I think that confuses people.
I'm sorry. Well, you had to nominate. Forget about the auction thing.
You couldn't find them in the draft room. It's not like you could find Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon.
You couldn't just pick them. You had to say, I'm taking a rookie.
You had to say that you were taking.
So at that point in round four, people were starting to say, okay, how do we do a rookie? So I knew some of the rookies were going to come off the board, and Dave was the only one who took one before me. So he took Melvin Gordon. I think it was three picks before I took Todd Gurley, who was the guy I really wanted. So, I kind of had an idea of, okay, I want to take a rookie in round four, and then I want to see what falls to me in round five in terms of running backs. And it worked out as good as I could hope. When did you take Isaiah Crowell, Adam?
At the end of toward the end of round five.
At the end of round five. So okay, yeah. So then I'm remembering correctly. So I was either gonna go Todd Gurley and either Latavius Murray or Isaiah Crowell, depending on who was there. And so I ended up with, on that next turn, Gurley and then Latavius Murray. So I was really thrilled with my first five picks, getting, you know, one stud running back, one guy who I think's got breakout potential in Latavius Murray, and then the rookie I wanted in Gurley. So I was really happy with that. And then getting two of my top 12 receivers in Alshon Jeffrey and Randall Cobb. So I was pretty much at that point ecstatic with how the draft had gone. Round six, I know I took Cam Newton in round seven.
Round six, you took another rookie because it says.
Oh, is that where I took Tevin Coleman?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I was just looking for, you know, playing around with it at this point to see who was going to be there. I didn't like the receivers on the board. And so I kind of put like a group of receivers into a spot where there were some guys that I knew I wanted to take. And I ended up with two of them, Martavis Bryant being one and Cody Latimer being another one. So at that point, I kind of had an idea of who I wanted my reserve receivers to be. So I figured, let me gamble on Tevin Coleman here.
Let me interrupt you, Jamie.
Coleman and TJ Yeldon, and I just took Coleman at that point.
Jamie, let me interrupt you here and ask you a question. So at this point, you've got already one rookie running back and Latavius Murray and Jamaal Charles.
Mm-hmm.
So you go with a fourth running back here in round six to go with your two wide receivers.
Right.
You could have taken Greg Olsen. You could have taken some of the second-year running backs or third-year. You could have taken McKinnon, Andre Williams. You could have taken Denard Robinson, Darren McFadden, those guys. Instead, you went with another rookie. Tell me why you went with a fourth running back and why you didn't take one of those second-year running backs.
Well, to me, Andre Williams is a huge bust candidate, so I don't want to take him. McKinnon was somebody I would consider, but I think we have to see what happens to Peterson before I would pull the trigger on that, because the Vikings do seem pretty steadfast that he's going to stay in Minnesota. That's probably why I avoided him. Denard Robinson, I think it's pretty clear Jacksonville's going to add a running back. Could be Tevin Coleman, for all we know. And like I said, that's why I didn't take a receiver, because I knew the guys who I was looking at and where I could potentially get them. So
you could have taken Michael Floyd. Yeah, there weren't great receivers here. There really
yeah,
were.
That's what I'm saying.
Or maybe a rookie.
I knew the guys I wanted, so I knew where I could get them and when I wanted to wait to try and pull the trigger on those guys. You know, so it's kind of just the way that. That I was approaching it. Olsen is someone I considered, but I think at that point I was a little disgruntled that Heath Cummings took Travis Kelce for me.
And you know, the thing is, when you start with the two wide receivers that you started with, Cobb and Jeffrey, puts a little less pressure on you to grab a mid-round wide receiver.
Right.
Okay, so you take Cam Newton as your quarterback in round seven, and why don't you go ahead and finish it off?
Well, I knew the way that the draft was going to go, just knowing the people that we're drafting with. So Scott White's always going to take a second quarterback before a lot of people have their first. And so I made it a priority to take a guy that I wanted, and Cam Newton is somebody that I do want this year, because I think he will improve after what we saw last season. So, again, you know, it was Cam and another running back there. And then I think the one mistake I made was, I believe it was round nine. I have to go back and look and see where Chris Towers took Nile Davis, but and round nine, I think, was a spot I thought I should take Nile Davis, and I thought I could buy another round, and I lost him. So that was one mistake. I think if I go back and change the draft, that I would take Nile Davis earlier.
Yeah, Nile Davis went in round 10, but right. Before your 10th pick, so you would have had to take him in round nine.
Right. So, you know, taking Martavis Bryant there, we talked about this last week, I think, with the breakout candidates. I really think he's going to have a nice season. I think he's the perfect third receiver you want to target, especially when you have two guys that you like. And then
Martellus Bennett.
That's a top five tight end for me. You know, I think you look at the loss of Brandon Marshall, what tight ends have done. You know, certainly Martellus Bennett is not Julius Thomas, but you are talking about Adam Gase's offense helped Julius Thomas do what he did. You know, certainly, you know, getting targets in the red zone. And Bennett has been pretty consistent since coming to Chicago, you know, so he's not an elite level guy, which is why he's, you know, not in the top three, which is kind of, I think, where the tight end drop off comes, the top four. But I think to get him in that spot, you know, it solidifies a position of uncertainty that I think, you know, you can trust Martellus Bennett for the week, so he's going to be good.
And you finished off with Cody Latimer.
Love Cody Latimer.
Shane Vereen.
That's a good pick.
Chris Ivory, the Bills. And then I think you took another rookie running back, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but I took Jeremy Langford. To me, he's one of the sleepers of this class. He was the fastest guy at the combine. Great numbers at Michigan State. Says he's trying to pattern his game after Le'Veon Bell. And I do think it's going to depend on his role where he ends up. But at that point in the draft, you know, I knew I was going to take a defense early based on Joe Polito took, I believe it was Polito, took the Seahawks early. The Bills are my number two defense. I really like what Rex Ryan's going to do with that squad. And so I took them, and then just knowing I had a pick to play with, it was Jeremy Langford. It was going to be between Langford and Colin Kaepernick. I think Kaepernick has a nice bounce back season this year, but I felt I'm okay with Cam. I'll gamble on another running back just because I like my receivers, like my tight end. Let's just see what throw another name against the wall and see if it sticks.
Recapping Jamie's team: Cam Newton, Jamaal Charles, Todd Gurley, Randall Cobb, and Alshon Jeffrey. Martellus Bennett at tight end. Latavius Murray is your flex with Buffalo and Connor Barth. On your bench, Shane Vereen, Tevin Coleman, Jeremy Langford, Chris Ivory, Martavis Bryant, and Cody Latimer. Okay,
and
Dave?
Ivory and Vereen, you know, they just fell to a spot where it's kind of no-brainer for me. Because Vereen, you know, obviously he's not going to be the same player with the Giants that he was in New England, which really wasn't great in standard leagues, which is what this draft is. But you never know. And then Ivory could still end up being the starter for the Jets, you know, as even though he's only going to be a two-down back for them. Chan Gailey's produced good numbers, so if he beats out Stephen Ridley, which wouldn't be a stretch, you'll get 7 or 8 good games from Ivory.
Dave, with the 5th pick. How you doing, Dave?
I'm good. I was just taking in Jamie's team, which I think is very impressive, and he did a really nice job.
Thanks, bud.
You're welcome. But let me ask you something. You didn't experiment with anything. You were just going in solely with just best team possible, maybe a little bit of a focus on getting extra running backs.
Well, I was, you know, the rookies, and taking 3 rookie running backs, you know, it was where was I going to take those guys.
Okay.
And so, I was hoping to get either Gurley or Gordon. Once you took Gordon, it was easy for me to pull the trigger on Gurley. And, you know, like I said, it came down to that spot of Coleman or Yeldon. You know, those guys, I think it's going to really depend on where they end up. And Langford, for me, is somebody right now that I can easily speculate on. If he ends up as a potential starter somewhere, clearly he's going to fly up.
That's the type of perfect late-round pick that everybody could take.
Sure.
And almost no matter where he ends up, because it's a late-round pick, and what difference does it make?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, good, well-built team. I like the running back depth. That's something that I'm going to preach a lot this year. As for my team, Adam, I went in getting out of my comfort zone and just to see what the team would look like. A, if I took Antonio Brown in the first round. B, if I waited an extra long time for a quarterback. And the results were not pretty. If I may say so myself, there were a lot of picks I was very happy with, but I know that there's a team that I could have had instead of the team that I got. And if I had gotten the team that I could have had, which I probably normally would draft, then it's a no-brainer. My team would have been amazing. But that's just not how it turned out, and it's a mock draft, and that's what mock drafting is for.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have a comments section on the mock drafts, but hey.
It's okay.
It's a night for experimenting. All right, so.
I made it very clear. I did a blog on my team. I made it very clear that I was experimenting.
No problem. All right, so you took Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham with your first 2 picks.
Right, and the plan all along was for Antonio Brown in the first round and then a running back in round 2. And I could have taken Lamar Miller there if I wanted to, but I can't pass up Odell Beckham. That was too sweet. So immediately I knew that my running backs were going to be iffy at best.
Would you have taken Jordy if it had gone Beckham?
No, because then Joyke Bell would have fell.
No. If it had gone just flip-flop where Nelson and Beckham went. So if Beckham goes where Nelson's spot is, and then Al still takes Joyke Bell, would you have taken?
I might have taken Jordy there, because then it would be Jordy versus Lamar Miller. And ultimately, I think that Jordy's better for your fantasy team than Lamar Miller at this point.
Nothing wrong with Jordy Nelson.
It's close between those teams.
All right, so round 3, you finally got your running back, and it was after
Morissette, who I still love. I know he's old, but he only has like 650 total touches in his career. And Mark Trestman's track record with running backs in the pros, in college, in the Canadian Football League, it's golden. So
Dave,
I'm banking on that when I say Justin Forsett is a good third round pick.
Would you have taken Carlos Hyde or Forsett? Because Hyde went 1 pick before.
I would have gone Forsett over Hyde.
Okay. All right, so then what are you thinking? Now you've got your two stud receivers and you've got a running back.
I need
back
a running
really
back.
Like.
I've got one running back and two stud receivers. There's no chance I'm doing anything but taking a running back. And I this is going to sound funny. I like Gurley better than Gordon as far as like draft prospects go. But as far as fantasy 2015 goes, I'm pretty much going to be in the Melvin Gordon camp because he's ready to go now.
You may have taken the two running backs for the Ravens.
I might have. Gordon could end up being a Raven.
Well,
and
I mean, there's
good.
A report that the Ravens have said that.
They should. And if they do end up with that, then that clouds Forsett's situation, and it certainly it would bring down Gordon. Like, I wonder how that would shape up. I wouldn't be happy if that's what ended up happening. But I think Gordon is a lock to contribute as a potential 20 touchback right away. And Gurley's going to have to either play in training camp or, you know, his situation's up in the air because of the torn ACL. So,
okay. So
that's
now you've
why
got,
I would take Gordon ahead of Gurley.
You got
if
two,
things change, if he's in training camp on time and Todd Gurley's running around for a team and he's going to be a 15 to 20 touchback, then yeah, I'll take him ahead of Melvin Gordon.
You have two wide receivers and you have Forsett and Melvin Gordon. And in round five, you take another running back, Devontae Freeman.
Who, again, as things stand right now, is the A1 back in Atlanta. And if they don't, that's the team that should go and get Adrian Peterson, if you ask me. That the Falcons should go and get him and add him to that already strong offense. That would be pretty amazing. If it doesn't happen and Devontae Freeman's the best back in Atlanta, then fifth round, that's a great time to get a back like that.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's, again, I could just as easily say that's a team that could get Melvin Gordon or they could go and get Todd Gurley or maybe Tevin Coleman is who they're looking at in round two. Because the Falcons need a lot of defensive help. I don't see them spending their early first-round pick on a running back.
I think they're in love with Gurley, though.
Yeah, well, then they better start moving down.
So, Dave, what you yes. got now what are you thinking? You got three running backs, two receivers as we enter round six.
I still wanted to take a running back in round six. I just didn't like any of them there, and I thought that the value of Keenan Allen at that point was too good to pass up. And I think he can have a bounce-back year.
Based on what, though?
Based on the fact that San Diego, who's running the ball for them? Are they going to have a good running back? I think they're going to be in a lot of games where Rivers is going to have to pass. We've seen a lot of receivers in their first year. They break out. They have this big season. And then they regress the second season. And then that third season comes along and they bounce right back. And I think that that's what Keenan Allen can do. Especially now we're talking about Antonio Gates losing playing time. That could open up the door for more touches. Or more targets, rather, for Keenan Allen.
The one concern,
and who, what other receiver? They lost Eddie Royal. I think they're going to have to lean on Keenan Allen more.
Yeah, I don't see it that way based on what Mike McCoy kind of uses offense. And that you look at what Allen did, he did all of it when Gates was struggling with injuries and Malcolm Floyd was out. And those guys come back and play the majority of the season last year. And McCoy was very proud of the fact that four guys for them had over 700 yards receiving, Royal being the fourth. But you bring in Steve Johnson. Sure, he is what he is at this point, but is he really that different of a statistical producer than Eddie Royal? I understand Royal's a slot guy more so than Johnson is, but
Johnson can do that.
Johnson can get 700 yards receiving, I think, if he's, you know, on the field enough. And you're factoring in, which was a huge piece of what they were 2 years ago, they had Danny Woodhead missed the majority of the season, missed 13 games last year. So Danny Woodhead's going to be on the field. So I'm nervous about Keenan Allen. I mean, I agree with what you said, Dave, that, you know, we've seen guys first year good, second year bad. I mean, Anquan Boldin's the poster child for that. But I just don't see Allen ascending back to the level that he was 2 years ago. And at that spot, knowing what your team was, where you have stud receivers, iffy running backs, if you could have hit a home run on a quarterback spot there, that solidifies your team, in my opinion.
But he couldn't have.
Why? He could have had Cam Newton. He likes Cam.
I don't know that's a home run, though.
Right in front of me. That was originally going to be the pick. No, I'm not in love with Keenan Allen in round six. To me, it was just a standard value play because I think he's going to be a good wide receiver this year.
Yeah, see, that again, that's where I think if you forget about what team you would have built, if you hit a home run on your quarterback spot there, This team is competitive.
But again, like you're saying Cam Newton's a home run, but we don't know that Cam Newton's a home run.
I'm not saying home run. I'm saying it's better than Jay Cutler and Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, yeah, but you did, so, but he couldn't have hit a home run.
So, that's the poster for don't wait too long for a quarterback. Otherwise, you're getting Jay Cutler and Teddy Bridgewater.
See, I guess I'll backtrack for a second. If you went about the strategy you had, which was taking two receivers at the five spot, knowing you're going to be chasing a running back at this point, you can't leave yourself in too many holes. And I think that's the problem I have with this team is you have so many holes. Quarterback's a hole, running back's a little iffy because we don't know where Gordon's going to be and what his role is going to be. He could change the tenor of your team. But you have a hole at tight end, you have a hole at quarterback, you have a little bit of a hole at running back. And so I think if you had nailed down one of those other spots, not knowing what you
if I had a normal typical strategy, this entire team, elements of it would have looked good or would have been the same rather. Like Odell Beckham in round two, I'm taking that no matter what I'm doing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying this
Foster
team in particular
would have been my first round pick.
Forget about that though.
And seventh round pick would have been a quarterback.
You're changing your entire team.
If I take any of the top 12 quarterbacks before I waited forever to take a quarterback, my team's going to look better. Any team with Jay Cutler on it looks like trash. The Chicago Bears look like trash. They've got Jay Cutler on their team. So I'm totally aware of what I did. And more importantly, I'm aware that that's not something that anybody should do when drafting happens in August. Maybe I did it just to see if I could get somebody like Phillip Rivers in my lap in round 9 or round 10. And in this draft, there were a lot of people that took backup quarterbacks, not just Scott White, who normally takes two quarterbacks by the end of, round 8? I mean, you were taking two quarterbacks at one point.
No.
You didn't take two? I thought you took another one after Cam. That's my mistake. But a lot of people did. So,
all right.
And that's going to be that way in a lot of drafts. So that's just how it goes, Adam. When you're fooling around in mock drafts, you're experimenting. Sometimes you'll have a great team. Sometimes you won't.
Then you got Andre Williams in round 7.
That's the pick. Imagine if I don't have him on my team and I've got Russell Wilson. And then
much
I can
better.
Spend those picks on Jay Cutler and Teddy Bridgewater.
Or Stafford.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I could have gone in completely different directions with those two picks. I could have had a team where it's Wilson at quarterback, Arian Foster, and it wouldn't have been Forsett. It would have been Melvin Gordon at running back. My receivers, my top two would be Odell Beckham and Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, but
Sanders
you also
fell
don't,
to the third
you
round.
You also don't know
draft.
What you changing picks would have done to other people changing
it's
picks.
True. It's possible. But they could have ended up with the players that I took in front of them.
So the Andre Williams pick is a regret. You probably could have gone quarterback there.
I was just stockpiling running backs, and he's my favorite Giants running back.
And then you got Theo Riddick.
I think he's going to get the most points this year. Yeah, because I like Theo Riddick.
And then you got Ryan Matthews. I think you overkilled it a little bit. In your first 9 picks, what do you have, 7 running backs?
6.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
you have 3
about right for me.
3 receivers. No, that's too many, man.
I agree, but I like having a ton of running backs. I know how fickle the position is.
Well, the rest of the league.
And especially since I didn't take a running back in round 1 and round 2.
Yeah, that's
but even
that's
But
true.
You know me, and I know me, and I know that even if I had taken a running back in round 1 and round 2, that there's going to come a point in the draft where I just load up on running
backs. Yeah, 6 in your first 9, that's kind of nuts. All right, then you have Kobe Fleener, followed by Jay Cutler.
Who I don't mind in round 10 one bit, by the way.
Jay Cutler in round 11.
Jamie called him a hole at tight end. I think he's a decent enough starter.
Teddy Bridgewater in round 12.
Cutler in 11, Bridgewater in 12.
13.
I was actually kind of excited to get Bridgewater, by the way.
Yeah. 13th, you took a rookie. Who was that rookie? That was David Cobb.
David
rookie
Cobb.
Running back.
I like him a lot. Nice running back out of Minnesota.
And you have Green Bay and Cody Parkey. So your team, Jay Cutler, Forsett, Melvin Gordon.
Let's put Bridgewater in a quarterback.
All right. Bridgewater, Forsett and Gordon, Brown and Beckham, Fleener, Devontae Freeman, with Andre Williams, Theo Riddick, Ryan Matthews, David Cobb, probably 7 other running backs that aren't listed here on your bench, and Keenan Allen.
Anderson is on my bench. Edgerrin James is on my bench.
So it wasn't your best mock, Barry Sanders. But you were trying some new things.
Well, here's the other thing. What else am I going to spend these draft picks on? Because I'm never benching Antonio Brown. I'm never benching Odell Beckham. Keenan Allen is basically a backup for those two guys.
He's your flex.
Or he could be my flex.
Well, I was surprised at two
what
things.
Ended up happening with Devine. I'm just making I don't see the point in drafting five wide receivers unless you're not spending early picks on wide receivers.
Well, you certainly don't have to with Brown and Beckham, but I was
exactly.
surprised.
So I might as well go and get running backs and sit on them and wait to see what happens.
Okay, I thought maybe you could have taken another rookie running back earlier.
They went in front of me. I was looking for Tevin Coleman. I was looking for Duke Johnson. They went in front of me.
And I thought maybe you would take Andre Johnson over Keenan Allen.
Nope.
Yeah, you like Keenan?
I just think there's a little more upside.
Okay. I'll go through my team quickly here. It's an interesting, weird team, and it loves the Broncos, which isn't a bad
thing. Broncos, the Browns, and the Jags.
Really?
Three playoff teams.
Oh, yeah.
Adam's mind, the AFC in 2015.
And basically, I feel like you have to draw the line at running back somewhere. Maybe it's like 10 deep. Lacy, Charles, Bell, Forte, Peterson, Anderson, Murray, McCoy, Lynch, Hill, and Foster. I don't know how many I named there, but if you can get two of those guys, I think it's a really good idea to get two of those guys. So with the ninth pick in the draft, I think probably Jamie disagrees with me on DeMarco Murray. I don't know how Dave feels.
Yeah, I don't like him.
All right, fine. So even if you took him out, good idea to get two if you can. I had the ninth pick. I took C.J. Anderson. I followed that up with Jeremy Hill. In the third round, I took Emmanuel Sanders. In the fourth round, this is when I was thinking about taking Todd Gurley probably or Melvin Ingram. But Peyton Manning was there, and I just couldn't pass up Peyton Manning in the fourth round.
I wouldn't have passed him up either. Like, if he had slipped to me, it would have really thrown a monkey wrench in my running backs, but I would have taken him.
So that gave me three Broncos, C.J. Anderson, Sanders, and Peyton Manning with my first four picks to go along with Jeremy Hill. And at this point, I am loving my team. In round five, toward the end of round five, Isaiah Crowell, I like the fact that he averaged 5 yards per carry or over 5 yards per carry with Alex Mack. So he's my flex right now. I took a rookie wide receiver in round six. I took Amari Cooper. I think I was the first to grab a rookie wide receiver.
I believe yep. you're right.
And that helped me because it helped me make that decision of taking two running backs early because I believe in the rookie wide receivers this year, even if one of them goes to Oakland.
See, that's the problem. Like, I'm not sure we can say that about these rookie wide receivers.
I don't see why
Cooper's
not.
Cooper's the safest of the bunch. But even if he goes to Oakland or Jacksonville, you're really gonna or Cleveland. I'm just naming the bad teams.
Yeah, Kansas I mean, look, City, it didn't hurt Mike Evans and it didn't hurt Kelvin Benjamin, and they were not on good offenses.
Evans is the better example because
right.
Kelvin had a quarterback at least.
He did, but he was probably still good when Derek Anderson played. I don't specifically remember.
He was actually better when Derek Anderson played.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's possible. And the fact is, I took a second. Rookie wide receiver. I took Kevin White as well. So my thing is like, just one of them hits, and I'm going to be in good shape. Round eight, I took Terrence West. And the reason I did that was kind of the same theory. If it's West or it's Crowell, if one of them emerges, I'm really going to like my flex option.
Sure.
Round nine.
That was smart. I was looking at West too.
Okay. Round nine, I took Allen Robinson. And then later in the draft, I took Marquise Lee. And I took... three Broncos running backs. I took Monte Ball in round 10 and Ronnie Hillman in round 11. So to give you my team, Peyton Manning, C.J. Anderson, Jeremy Hill, Emmanuel Sanders, Amari Cooper, Josh Hill at tight end. I'll get more into tight end in a second. Isaiah Crowell at flex, Chiefs and Shane Graham. On my bench, I have Ronnie Hillman and Monte Ball, Terrence West, Kevin White, Allen Robinson, and Marquise Lee. So my thinking is I've got the Broncos backfield. I'll figure out who I can cut of, you know, one of those two backups pretty early.
You might not want to based on how last year went.
That's fine. I've got two Jaguars wide receivers. I'm confident that one of them will have a solid year. I've got two rookie wide receivers in addition to Emmanuel Sanders. I'm confident that between Amari Cooper and Kevin White, one of them is going to be a guy that I feel comfortable starting every week. And then I've got Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West. I feel like I can get a flex out of one of those two. Or that rookie wide receiver. So, yeah, it was weird. I kind of doubled up. I tripled up on Broncos running backs. I doubled up on Jags. I doubled up on rookie wide receivers. I doubled up on Browns running backs. And I actually like my team. I like my team. I think it's good.
I think it's very good.
Tight end, guys.
The key is Peyton being Peyton again.
Yeah.
Because if that happens, then, you know, you're going to dominate that position, at least have a top three guy. And then, you know, your running backs are great. It's just going to come down to, you know, there is some thought. You know, people are a little bit concerned about Sanders because in Gary Kubiak's offense, traditionally, there really hasn't been two guys that have been good at the same time. Last year was one of the first times when you look at what Steve Smith and Torrey Smith did, but they really weren't great. And so, you know, Sanders moving to the slot, is he going to lose some touchdown potential? I think Sanders is going to be fine. So you have a potential there for a big season. And then I think your tight end is fine, given that, you waited as long as you did, because Josh Hill is somebody. The Saints last year led all teams in tight end passes in the red zone, and they scored 15 touchdowns. I believe it was on 32 red zone attempts. I think I might have that right. 32 red zone attempts to their tight ends. They came away with 15 touchdowns, and Hill scored 5 of those. So they have to replace 9 red zone touchdowns that went to Jimmy Graham. So Josh Hill could get 8 touchdowns. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
And you spent a 13th round pick on him. So Let's just say he gets no touchdowns in his first 3 weeks, and you go, all right, nuts to this. Well, you just hit the eject button on him, and you go to the waiver wire, and you find somebody else. Who cares? It was a 13th round pick.
Eric Ebron wasn't drafted. None of the second-year tight ends wasn't drafted. Jason Mara wasn't drafted.
That's the point I was going to make about tight ends. Like, honestly,
if you're going to miss on the studs early, you might as well wait, right?
After, like, the top 4 or 5, I really feel like there are about 15 tight ends that could finish anywhere. So it just didn't make any sense for me to take a tight end after I missed on Olsen and Kelsey, basically, and Julius Thomas. Like, I just didn't feel like I should take a tight end until basically the very end, because who knows what order they're going to finish in. That was the point I wanted to make on tight end.
I think there's going to be a lot of people who question why. Like, I think you went very logically about building your team, but you spent 3 roster spots on one Denver running back. You spent 2 roster spots on one Jacksonville wide receiver. You spent 2 roster spots on one rookie wide receiver. Now, I think it was smart, and I think it's going to probably work out if we were to play this league out and if it really meant something. But
can we?
I don't know if everybody is going to feel that way.
Yeah. Here's what I'd say.
If somebody last year had the ability to carry all 3 Broncos running backs, you hit a home run, because Monte Ball was the worst of the group. He still gave you, 2 good games of the 5 that he played. Hillman stepped in, was very serviceable until he got hurt, and then C.J. Anderson was the best, and he was awesome. So, clearly Adam's not hoping that's the way it plays out, but if it does, he's covered.
Here's the thing I'd say. When you draft a team that's got 15 roster spots, probably 3, maybe 4 guys are cuttable, right? I mean, you're going to be interchanging the back end of your roster with guys on the waiver wire, so I have a team where I'll sort of see how it plays out. Like, I could see myself in this scenario cutting Isaiah Crowell if cutting Terrence West if Crowell runs away with it, cutting Marquise Lee if Allen Robinson runs away with it, cutting Ronnie Hillman if he's just a complete afterthought. So I'd rather get those guys now. Okay, I'll give you an example. I was choosing between, I think, Marquise Lee and Terrence Williams. And if I didn't have Allen Robinson, I would have taken Terrence Williams. But the fact that I had Allen Robinson, I took Marquise Lee to kind of handcuff my gamble, if that makes sense. And if Lee doesn't pan out,
I don't really buy.
Yeah, I don't either. Although I like the potential of Marquise Lee. I like the PPR potential of Allen Robinson. I don't know.
But I feel like one of them...
I might have tried to be a little more diverse.
One of them is going to be good.
I've taken Robinson and just waited for Lee.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like one of them is going to emerge. I really feel strongly about that.
Oh, that's fine. I just think the fact that you said you went about it as a handcuff proposition as opposed to taking a player that you think is better, like the Crowell West handcuff to me makes total sense.
But
the Broncos handcuff situation, total sense. To handcuff Robinson and Lee and say,
handcuff wide receiver.
Maybe I shouldn't.
Well, and it's not like you're handcuffing established good wide receivers. You're handcuffing potential.
Right. You're betting on the Jacksonville passing game.
But look, I passed up.
Betting on the field and craps.
I only passed up like a guy like Terrence Williams to do that.
It's more like betting on midnight.
Yeah, but Terrence Williams, I think, still has a higher ceiling than maybe even both the Jaguars receivers.
No. Well, then I should probably
have a good team. And I think the ultimate reason why you have a good team is because you went running back early. I think Emmanuel Sanders falling to 33 overall was amazing, and that helped you out. Peyton Manning falling to you in round 4 was amazing, and it helped you out. Everything else that happened after that, you can spin it any way you want. The bottom line is that you've got Peyton Manning, CJ Anderson, Jeremy Hill, and Emmanuel Sanders. It's an extremely strong core.
I did a blog post on 6 of our teams, the 3 of ours, Scott White, Heath Cummings, and Will Brinson, and asked people to rate them who they like the best. And I think Will's team got the most votes as the best.
Was I dead last?
You were dead last.
I was dead last. no, it's, I'm not.
Well, at least they're paying attention.
It's not about paying attention. It's about
no, them.
What works and what doesn't work.
And year. So, Adam, your the team voters. Was funny because your team was pretty much either top three or bottom three.
Yeah, it's polarizing. Let me read Will's team then, the winner of the fan vote. Okay, hang on 1 second. I think Will had, what, the 10th or 11th pick?
I think it was 11.
I got it right here if you want me to read
it. I got you. Philip Rivers, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, Kelvin Benjamin, T.Y. Hilton, Antonio Gates, Brandon Marshall, the Panthers, Matt Bryant, and on his bench, Tannehill, Rashad Jennings, MJD, Stephen Ridley.
No, that's not MJD. That's, who's that, Amir Abdullah?
That's Amir Abdullah.
My bad. Amir Abdullah, Stephen Ridley, Brandon LaFell, and yeah. Terrence Williams. Why did I say MJD? Because we had to have placeholders when we made these draft picks for the rookies.
I don't think this team is necessarily better than yours, Adam, and I don't think it's necessarily better than Jamie's. I think it's 100 times better than what I ended up with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, well, it's a good team.
But today, he's got a few question marks, and he's got great running backs. I really think that that's what will sell anybody on having a good team. Is if you've got two great running backs,
that's the thing.
And at least one great receiver, you're going to have a team that looks good. Yeah.
He's got two great receivers.
He does have two great receivers.
He's got.
I disagree.
Why?
I just don't believe it with Kelvin Benjamin this year. Well, I'm not
he's
sure.
He's still the only guy that they
and
have.
I don't think that's going to be the case, though.
He'll get a slew of targets.
I just don't think he's that good. I'm not sure how I feel because I understand the appeal. But I feel like they add someone, and when they do, it's going to hurt him and Greg Olsen. How do you guys feel about that?
It depends on who the someone is.
Kelvin Benjamin could easily be this year's Keenan Allen.
Right.
Yep. Or last year's Keenan Allen, excuse me.
We know about all the drops, so I'm not convinced that he has two great wide receivers in Hilton and Benjamin.
Yeah, but when you pair them with the running backs that he has, it's like...
Yeah, very good.
Okay, it's a good comparison with your team because both you guys went running back. Whose receivers do you like better?
Well, his, but I have Peyton Manning.
Oh, agreed.
His because
he also has Gates and you have Josh Hill, so that could be an edge there. So, but when you look at it, though, who's got better receivers, you or him?
He has Kelvin and T.Y. Hilton. I have Emmanuel Sanders and Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, most people at this point would take his guys.
I got news for you
guys.
I agree. May I interrupt?
Yeah.
Earlier in this very podcast, you talked about how Adrian Peterson would be is eligible to come off the commissioner's list this week.
Yeah.
It has happened.
Well, there you go.
He has been reinstated. The Vikings have been notified. He may participate in all scheduled activities with the Minnesota Vikings. If you give me a minute, I can read through the whole statement and we can react to it. Adam, talk about something else.
What's up? I mean, I don't know if you have to read through the whole statement. We're out of time.
Then I'll tell you what the...
We're really out of time anyway. So your thoughts on Adrian Peterson and
well, I mean, this is the first step toward where he'll end up. You know, it's the first step toward him playing. All right, now he can play. Now it's where will he play.
Do you think anyone will be morally opposed to drafting Adrian Peterson?
There will be some people who are.
Yeah.
I'm in it for the football part of it.
I detach myself from these guys.
It's not morality.
You also have to hope. I mean, look, he had to pay a penance. You know, forget about the on-the-field stuff. He had to go to counseling. Hopefully learn from it.
Oh, wow. That's really tough. He should have been in jail. I'm sorry. I feel very strongly about this topic, and I have been so disgusted with Adrian Peterson and the way he has handled
this. So does
that
mean you're not going to take him?
No, I'll take him. I mean.
Right, because I'm only focused on the football part.
I just, what bothered me, and I've said it before, is that he felt that the Vikings wronged him. And I just always thought that was silly. But I won't
No one's saying he's, you know, guilt-free and innocent and all this, because clearly he's not. But, you know, you got to hope that he learned his lesson and you know, realizes what he did was wrong. He was, you know, brought up in a culture that this was allowed.
There's nothing else in this reinstatement that suggests, you know, more suspension or a fine, at least not in this letter from the NFL. The letter says that he's been reminded that he is under the personal conduct policy now, and any further violation will result in additional discipline. He still has to fulfill his remaining obligations to authorities in Minnesota and Texas. He's back. He's eligible to play.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Game on.
Thank you very much for your time today. Next week, we'll talk NFL draft, and we'll read some emails at fantasyfootball at CBSi.com. I promise.
Adam,
emails.
I can't let you go yet.
Okay.
The Vikings released a statement.
Okay.
The Minnesota Vikings have been informed by the NFL that Adrian Peterson has been reinstated. We look forward to Adrian rejoining the Vikings.
All right.
That's the end of the statement. So now that drama is going to start playing out about whether or not he'll be in Minnesota.
Game on. Dave Game and on. Jamie, thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
Buddy.
I'm Adam Azer. Next week, emails, NFL draft, and much more. Thanks a lot for listening to the Fantasy Football Today podcast on CBSSports.com. Go Broncos.